Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the foreign service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on RAE.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and together with sound technician Walter Danesi, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Monday, December 2, 2024. We'll have news, sports, music. And today we'll be sharing part three of this documentary called Dear Buenos Aires, which is dedicated to the sights and attractions and things to do and see in Buenos Aires City. We'll also be having, as usual, as we do every week, the DX supplement with useful information for DXers and radio hams around the world. Walter Danesi is our sound technician. My name is Fernando Farias. You can listen to us on the shortwaves of WRMI and also via our app for mobile devices. The frequency for shortwave listening is 5,850 kHz. And remember that you can download our app for mobile devices that you can get for free and is available for both Apple and Android phones. Okay? Let's get started now with the news. These are the headlines. Relatives of Argentine soldiers who fell in 1982 visit their graves in the Malvinas this week. Chile announces a project to build a tunnel under the Strait of Magellan. The Argentine government reports receiving threats from drug traffickers. Venezuela's opposition demands an end to the siege of the Argentine embassy in Caracas. Official figures reveal 140,000 people are living with HIV in Argentina. Sports. Juan Martín del Potro bids farewell to professional tennis in an exhibition game against Novak Djokovic. And these are the news. Relatives of Argentine soldiers who fell in 1982 will visit their graves in Malvinas this week. Island media and journalists like Eduardo Feynman report the visit will take place this Wednesday, December 4. The group will travel from the mainland to the archipelago and return the same day. Sources say a ceremony will be held at Darwin Cemetery, where the remains of over 200 Argentine soldiers were buried after the war. It is worth noting that these fallen soldiers were only identified 10 years ago through DNA analysis. The resumption of these family visits was agreed upon in September by former Argentine Foreign Minister Diana Mondino and her British counterpart, David Lammy. Chile has announced a project to build a tunnel beneath the Strait of Magellan, connecting the mainland to the island of Tierra del Fuego. The initiative was unveiled by Jorge Flies, the governor of Chile's Magallanes and Antarctica region. The estimated cost, according to him, will be about $1.5 billion. The project aims to replace the ferry services currently used to cross the nearly 4-kilometer-wide interoceanic passage. Flies also highlighted the tunnel's potential to improve integration between Chile and Argentina, which would also benefit from the initiative. In its initial phase, feasibility studies will be conducted at a cost of $100 million. No timeline for the tunnel's completion has been provided. The Argentine government claims drug gangs have threatened Security Minister Patricia Bullrich and the governor of the province of Santa Fe, Maximiliano Pujaro. The Casa Rosada shared a video on the X social media platform showing masked individuals issuing intimidation messages. The alleged criminals are believed to belong to a gang from the city of Rosario, long plagued by narco violence. In the video, a speaker claims the criminals are already in the the city of Buenos Aires and warns authorities they won't be stopped. The government responded in a statement vowing to continue policies against the cartels that, according to authorities, had taken control of Rosario. The siege of the Argentine embassy in Caracas continues, where six opponents of Nicolás Maduro's government have been sheltering since December. Anti-Chavista leader María Corina Machado made this claim on social media this past weekend. In her post, Machado called on the international community to take action, describing the situation as torture for the refugees at the diplomatic compound. She alleged that the group is isolated, without water or electricity, and surrounded by regime forces intensifying the harassment. The democratic world must act now, Machado insisted. The Argentine embassy, let's recall, is being managed by Brazil, as Argentina's diplomats were expelled a few months back by Venezuelan authorities. According to the Ministry of Health, approximately 140,000 people in Argentina are living with HIV. The figures were released as part of World AIDS Day, observed annually on December 1st. The data shows over 5,000 people contract the virus each year. Health officials noted early half of those infected received their diagnosis late, delaying and complicating their treatment. And now, sports. Argentine driver Franco Colapinto was eliminated from the Qatar Grand Prix after a crash. The Williams driver collided with Esteban Ocon of Alpine at the first turn of the circuit. In other sports news, Vélez Sarsfield regained the lead in the Football League after defeating Sarmiento de Junín 1-0 yesterday. With three matches remaining in the competition, Vélez leads alone with 48 points, followed by Racing with 43. Lastly, Juan Martín del Potro bid farewell to professional tennis in an exhibition match where he defeated former world number one Novak Djokovic. The Argentine secured 22 titles throughout his career, including the 2009 US Open, before retiring in 2022. And these were the news on RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE.
RAE, Argentine vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentine.
RAE, Argentina au mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina direct.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
We're gonna be playing now some music dedicated to Osvaldo Pugliese, one of the most important tango people of all times, on the occasion of his 119th birth anniversary. He was born on December 2, 1905. Maestro Pugliese conducted orchestras throughout his career and was acclaimed by experts, the critics, and the public alike. Let's play this track by the Osvaldo Pugliese's orchestra called Alma de Bohemio, which is literally translated as the soul of a bohemian. But a bohemio in this context, a bohemian, means kind of a hippie person, in the sense that is a night owl, people that likes to go out very much, who's very social, a party animal, somebody who does not work 9 to 5. Or maybe that person does, but still has the soul of a hippie. He likes to go against the rules, to stay out until late at night, to go around bars and clubs. That's what a bohemio is, to live like an artist also. And this is the meaning of the term bohemio in this context.
Thank you.
And we bring you now our regular DX supplement that is produced by Arnaldo Slaen with information that the Xers and Radio Hams are going to find very useful. We have several hearings that we'd like to share with you. We start with a clandestine station targeting North Korea that is called the North Korean Democratization Committee, broadcasting on 9,900 kilohertz via the transmission site of Telecom Tashkent, RRTM, which is located in Uzbekistan. They broadcast on Tuesdays and Thursdays in Korean language between 2 and 2:30 p.m. UTC time on the frequency of 9900 kHz with 100 kilowatts of power. Now, we'd like to report on another station transmitting towards North Korea. It's called The Voice of Martyrs that airs programs on 9930 kHz via RRTM Telecom Tashkent between noon and 12:30 UTC time on the aforementioned frequency of 9930 kHz with 100 kilowatts of power. There is another station that would like to report that only broadcasts with 1 kilowatt of power. Only one is a station broadcasting from Germany on the short waves, but they broadcast in Portuguese. It's called Brazilian Radio Onda. Brazilian Radio Onda, transmitting on 6,140 kHz via Margraten in Germany, broadcast air on Saturdays and Sundays. They target Western Europe, and the language, as I said, is Portuguese. Also from Germany, we've got a station called Deutscher Wetterdienst, DWD, on 5,905 kHz and 6,180 kHz via Pinneberg. The transmissions air between 0600 and 0630 UTC time on the frequency of 5,905 kHz with 10 kilowatts of power, and between 0600 and 0630 UTC time on the frequency of 6,180 kHz, also with 10 kilowatts of power. In both cases, there is a non-directional antenna used targeting Western Europe with programs airing in Germany. Moving on now to Africa, we've got Radio Ethiopia Home Service reported at 5:30 UTC time on the frequency of 710 kHz. The language is Afan Romo and the targeted area is Eastern Africa. Another station from Africa is a clandestine one called Voice of Oromo Liberation. I repeat, Voice of Oromo Liberation, airing on Fridays and Sundays on their frequency of 15,420 kHz via Nauen, Germany, between 1700 and 1730 UTC time with 100 kilowatts of power. I repeat, 100 kilowatts of power. And we end this list of hearings as part of our weekly DX supplements with a very interesting piece of news. Trans World Radio India broadcasts on the very unheard of or very unknown language of Kuruk. They have a Kuruk language broadcast for 6 minutes on Wednesdays and Fridays. This curious transmission targets or airs on the frequency of 13,690 kHz via Yerevan in Armenia between 13:15 and 13:21. That's 1:15 p.m. The frequency, as I said, is 13,690 kHz with 300 kilowatts of power. And the language, as I said, is Kuruk, which is spoken by 3 million people living in the Indian states of Bihar, Jharkhand, Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh, and Western Bengal, the north of Bangladesh, and also in Nepal and Bhutan. But in these two later cases, what they speak there is a dialect that evolved from Kuruk called Dangar. That's the name of the dialect that originates in Kuruk. And with that, we completed this week's edition of the DX supplement of RAI that is produced by Arnaldo Slaen, Kind 73.
RAI, Argentina al mundo. RAI, Argentina.
面向世界
RAI Argentine vers le monde
RAI Argentina to the world
RAI 世界に向けてアルゼンチン
RAI Argentina al mundo
RAI Argentina al mundo
RAI Argentinian in the world
RAI Argentina al mundo
Coming up, part three of this documentary called Dear Buenos Aires that you can check out on internet. It's very comprehensive. It goes on for about an hour, and it's about all of the things that you can do and see in the capital of Argentina, the city of Buenos Aires. We'll be bringing you part three of this production. But before that, let us continue paying homage to Maestro Osvaldo Pugliese, on the anniversary of his birth back in 1905. Just a quick note on him that is unrelated to music. It is believed that he brings good luck. Just mentioning him, you conjure good luck to your side, no? Many people keep images of him as a lucky charm. Superstitious people, but that's what Pugliese stands for also, for good luck. But in terms of tango, a very important orchestra leader who passed away in 1995 at the age of 90. We're gonna play now a track that is a favorite of mine and a favorite of my dad as well. My dad loves the following track, which is not a tango song. This is a milonga song. Please pay attention to the pace and the rhythm. This is not tango, even though it's played by a tango orchestra and it's played with tango instruments, but the pace is different. It's much faster and it's much closer to the African origins of tango, the milongon that the African community of Buenos Aires dance to, or the candombe also. A lot of percussion. That in terms of the music. In terms of the lyrics, this is a hilarious track that tells the story of a fundraiser. A fundraiser for a neighbor who is in jail. No, the friends, family and neighbors of this fellow who is in jail for stealing chickens. He was a chicken thief, ends up in a brawl and in a tremendous chaos. Somebody steps on somebody's foot and all hell breaks loose, with somebody shooting and people running in all directions away from the chaos. The character singing, the protagonist, tells that in the confusion, he takes advantage to steal a bandoneon from the orchestra. Well, that's just a very rough summary of the lyrics, which are hilarious. And they accompany this beautiful piece of milonga by Osvaldo Pugliese that we share with you on the occasion of Maestro Pugliese's birth anniversary in 1905.
Pantaleón, Pepino y el loco Juan, el peludo Santillán, Tito y el chueco Ramón. Salimos con la intención de ir a un bailongo fulero a beneficio de un reo que se hallaba en Gallolar. En Devoto y acusado por asuntos de choreo. Resulta que el loco es de buena familia, pero tiene un inconveniente el hombre, coleccionista de gallinas. Al buffet por la bebida fui yo, Tito y el peludo, que ya estaba medio mudo de la curda que tenía. Pero allí encontré una cría chupando que daba gusto. Estaba el guitarrero Augusto, un gatillo el cortado potranca. Y el sordo tenía una tranca que de verlo daba susto. Este amigo siempre borracho y pensar que nació en la Martón, el loco. En el ambiente de mina estaban las de Mendieta, con la flaca pañoleta, la paja brava y la china, pichota, la golondrina, la mechera encarnación, la gorda del corralón, Sarita de la cortada, la garena de puñalada y la par del callejón. Era un ambiente bastante, bastante somería el ambiente. Entre el baile meta y ponga que la brava la negrada, y entre cortes y quebradas se mandaban la mironga. Una negra media conga bailando con un chabón le dio al loco un pisotón propiamente en el Juanete. Si Santillano se mete, el loco le da un piñón. Pero hay que ver, amigos, siempre le pisan el Juanete al loco. También si el loco tiene un Juanete que parece una milanesa. Pero el chabón muy careta, al loco le dio un sopapo, cayó el loco como un sapo, haciendo sonar la jeta, intervino pañoleta para aliviar la cuestión. El chabón para un rincón se la quería picar, pero lo hizo sonar de un tortazo pantaleón. Pronto se armó la podrida piña trompada en tortazo. Santillán tiró un balazo con un chumbo que traía. Toda la gente corría, quedó en la casa pelada. Para terminar la velada, yo me choré un bandoneón, un piloto pantaleón y el loco la jeta hinchada.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
The always crowded Florida Street ends in one of the most beautiful green places in the city, Plaza San Martin, located in an area with a history so rich as varied. There stood the residence of a governor during the colonial period. The place was afterwards occupied by barracks where slaves, introduced by the British slave trader South Sea Company, were kept. It was the site of the most important bullring Buenos Aires ever had, and the location of important military headquarters. During the British invasion of 1807, it witnessed combats leaving hundreds of victims, and on that very place, General José de San Martín formed and trained the Regiment of Grenadiers on horseback, of memorable performance during the Independence Wars. On the square, there is a 170-ton monument made of bronze and red granite, with which Argentina pays tribute to her liberator as well as to the independence armies. The equestrian statue representing a 35-year-old San Martin, indicating with his right hand the route across the Andes, is the work of the French artist José Luis Dumas and was inaugurated in 1862. The allegoric groups and reliefs by the German artist Gustavo Eberlein represent the main battles of the independence: the crossing of the Andes, and other events of the liberation campaign. They were added almost half a century later. The monument of great aesthetic value and historical significance is the ideal venue for homage ceremonies to honor the nation's father, José de San Martín. The other important memorial on the square, located in the sector that slopes down towards Retiro, is the monument to the soldiers who died during the War of the Malvinas in 1982. Their names are engraved on a wide stone frieze. Although in the surroundings of San Martin Square, the bustle has continued to increase, it has remained a peaceful site. paths and benches are under the shade of old trees, including magnolias, palm trees, a pair of colossal rubber plants, and numerous Argentine species, which in spring cover the area with pink and lilac-colored flowers. Around that green oasis stand some of the most elegant and traditional buildings in the city. Among them, the San Martin Palace, headquarters of the Chancellery, the old residence of the Aedo family, now the site of the National Parks Administration, the Marriott Plaza Hotel, the Holy Sacrament Basilica, with its five towers, and the Paz Family Palace, present site of the Military Circle and the Nation's Arms Museum. In spite of their importance, none of those buildings attracts our attention so much as the Kavanaugh. Built in 1934 and 110 meters high, the Kavanaugh was for a long time the highest building in South America. Its constructive features, as well as its design, have won important international awards. Its triangular form makes it emerge like a gigantic bow, facing the neighboring Retiro Square, with the Torre de los Ingleses and a group of railway terminals crowded by people and vehicles. The vicinity to the river provides Buenos Aires with high environmental humidity, constant conversation for the porteños, a name given to the inhabitants of the city due to their origin, history, and economy, closely linked to its large port. Most of the foreign trade of Argentina passes through the port of Buenos Aires, but the old installations known as Puerto Madero were separated from port activity, giving birth to an urban area which has acquired an extraordinary commercial, financial, and trust significance. The attractive red brick buildings were constructed between 1900 and 1905. Tons of wheat, leather, and other local products were stored there, and all kinds of imported goods were in storage, being moved by cranes built into the walls. Stones in the foundations and iron beams in floors and walls resulted in structures capable of bearing gigantic loads. During the 90s, the 16 docks were recycled and incorporated to the city as a new neighborhood. The trees, the river, the harmonious buildings, and the neatness of paths and small squares invite to walk around the area, which offers one of the most attractive profiles in the urban horizon. The old warehouses accommodate today almost 50 cafes, tea shops, and first-class restaurants. Also, offices of large companies, commercial representatives, cinemas, art exhibition rooms, and even one of the most important private universities in the country. Businessmen and tourists are habitual pedestrians, and on weekends, the area is also visited by thousands of porteños who love to eat well and walk by the river. Two historic ships converted into museums, the frigate Sarmiento and the corvette Uruguay, raised their masts and yards at the docks, offering the possibility of visiting them to get in touch with the life aboard a large war sailing vessel. Next to Puerto Madero and its docks lies the vast tapestry of the ecological reserve. It is a genuine example of the flora that covered the coast of the River Plate in times of the conquest and constitutes an exceptional place to observe the wild fauna. It was formed a little more than two decades ago on the mass of debris from demolitions and excavations which was deposited in that sector. The periodical overflows of the river spontaneously colonized the area with aquatic plants and seeds of riverside plants from other latitudes. First appeared the rush thickets and underbrushes. Then trees and bushes grew, which lodged many species of birds. There are large pastures and dense groups of alders and willows, alternating with lagoons and marshlands inhabited by otters and other aquatic animals. There are 350 hectares for riding on bicycle or rambling along predetermined paths. By yourself or on a guided tour. No other great city in the world has such a showing of flora and fauna so near the urban heart. Public access to the ecological reserve is located at the beginning of the Southern Riverside Strip, a promenade with renewed gardens and boulevards that constitute an interesting framework for statues and sculptures. But none of them is so attractive as the fountain which Lola Mora, the first Argentine sculptress, created out of marble with a chisel, a hammer, and the strength of her exceptional talent. The whole group, imposing in its snow whiteness, exhibits the harmonious proportions created by a sensitive spirit, complemented by a faultless technique. There is Venus, the goddess of love, of beauty and the seas, crowning with her nudity the group formed by two mermaids and three tritons, holding the reins of bolting colts due to the upsurge of the goddess from the depths of the sea. The fountain was relocated at the site in 1918. Since 1903, it had irradiated its beauty in the surroundings of the Casa del Gobierno, but had to be moved due to the opposition aroused by the naked figure. Its official name is Fountain of the Nereids, but the people, whose opinion was requested by the sculptor when the fountain was the center of the scandal, preferred to give it the name of its creator. It is, for all porteños, La Fuente de Lola Mora. More than 1,100 monuments and sculptural works embellish the streets, walkways, and open areas of Buenos Aires. Some are full of historical significance, and others have an artistic value recognized worldwide. But the symbol of the city is a pure-lined work of construction, the Obelisco. It was built in 1936 to celebrate the 400th anniversary of the port founded by Pedro de Mendoza. And it is also a memorial of the day the national flag was raised there for the first time, on the tower of the already demolished Church of St. Nicholas. The 67-meter-high monument stands on the exact crossing of Avenues Nueve de Julio, Corrientes, and Diagonal Julio Arroca, in the middle of six lanes of intensive traffic. The grass surrounding it has the shields of all the Argentine provinces, together with a large sitting area that form the Plaza de la República. Designed by architect Alfredo Previch, the building is hollow, with a staircase leading to a pyramidal apex where four little windows spy upon the cardinal points of the city. At a time the Obelisco was criticized and was even on the verge of being demolished, without moving from the Plaza de la República, it invaded pictures and postcards, placed its Egyptian form in the heart of the porteños, and became the symbol of Buenos Aires worldwide. The unmistakable profile of the Obelisco dominates the perspective of two key avenues in the city. One is Corrientes, synonym of shows due to the dominant presence of cinemas and theaters. There are restaurants, pizzerias, cafes, bookstores, and places where cultural activities abound. It is the ideal avenue for those who enjoy to walk casually without haste, to philosophize in a cafe over a cup of coffee, or to stop here and there to observe whatever calls the visitor's attention. And it is one of the areas most frequented by theater actors and theater goers. There are literature, music, and art classes, or dance courses in the area. Nueve de Julio Avenue stands out like Corrientes, but satisfies other needs. 140 meters wide and 3 kilometers long, its opening originated a categorical split in urban traffic, changing dozens of city blocks to facilitate the access and circulation of vehicles in the downtown area. It connects railway terminals, highways, and wide avenues, and enhances its appearance with small squares, trees, and several fountains of remarkable beauty. To the south, it is bordered by the landscape of old neighborhoods, acquiring then the metropolitan features of the downtown area, and on the north end receives the aristocratic aspect of top-level residences and buildings. The flowers of its trees constitute one of the best gifts offered by the city center. With the exception of some charming hills near the coast, Buenos Aires does not have mountains, valleys, or other unusual geographical features. It grew on the plain, and its beauty is therefore the result of human efforts, which adorned it with statues, designed beautiful parks and squares, opened avenues, raised towers, and built palace residences, achieving the features that offer many pleasant surprises. Such is the case of the Robos clocks, which from towers and facades have marked the passing of time for decades and are today a luxurious adornment. Although many have already disappeared, Buenos Aires is among the cities where more clocks have embellished the city's buildings. The tallest is the tower clock of the city legislature, located 94 meters above ground level. Situated near Plaza de Mayo, it dominates the historical heart of the city with the majesty of a lighthouse, and the tolling of its five bells has marked the official hour of Buenos Aires for the last 70 years. A close relative stands on Plaza del Retiro, decorating the Torre de los Ingleses, English People's Tower, so called because it was a gift from British residents to Argentina on the 100th anniversary of its independence. The monumental clock, which has four fronts, is located 50 meters from the ground and weighs 20 tons, constituting the main attraction for visitors. However, the most intricate public clock of the city is at the crossing of Corrientes and San Martin. Its hands mark the hours, but the dial indicates the seasons of the year, the months they cover, and the period corresponding to each sign of the zodiac. Maybe this astral invocation saved it from being destroyed by bullets during the revolution that overthrew President Perón in September 1955. But the oldest among the dozens of clocks of this type comes from 1740 and crowns the bell tower of the Basilica Nuestra Señora del Pilar. It has a curious design, with curved hands that move on a spherical dial and command the striking of hours on two bells. This relic is one of the attractions of Recoleta, the area where Buenos Aires has concentrated most of its charming elements: history, parks, monuments, restaurants, and cultural activity.
I touch your lips and all at once.
Recoleta is a neighborhood that owes its name to a modest convent from colonial times where the Franciscan monks practiced seclusion and meditation. It was an isolated place that became crowded with top-level residences starting in 1870, when a great epidemic of yellow fever forced the movement of the wealthiest population towards the north of the city. The ancient convent and the nearby Basilica del Pilar, both restored, constitute at present the core of an exceptional tour. The colonial-style church, tower, and belfry contains important pieces of Indo-American religious art. And in the cells, which once were used as an asylum for old people and beggars, now functions as the Recoleta Cultural Center, where contemporary and exceptional art exhibitions take place. Next to it is the Buenos Aires Design Center, a very modern mall dedicated mainly to the exhibition and sale of furniture and interior decoration objects. It also has traditional as well as quick food restaurants. In the neighborhood, there are jewelry stores, international boutiques, high fashion houses, and other sophisticated shops. In front of the square, there are more than 20 restaurants and cafes. And two blocks away, there is a cinema complex, complemented by music and bookstores and snack bars. All this surrounded by elegant residences, gardens, enormous gum trees, and one of the most remarkable concentration of monuments and statues in the city. The movement is constant, night and day, although it reaches its peak during weekends when musicians, dancers, mime artists, jugglers, and other street artists perform on the various squares. On Sundays, there is an artisan's fair with a vast offer of ceramics, leather, fabrics, wood, glass, and metal objects. The greenness of Recoleta continues with other open areas towards the river. One of them lies around the mythical Palais de Glass, which was conceived as a skating rink, then a dancing hall and cabaret, where the tango was accepted by distinguished people. And today, it is the National Plastic Arts Hall. A few meters from the Palais de Glass stands the paramount work of a genius of sculpture, the monument to General Carlos Maria de Alvear, masterpiece by the French Antoine Bourdelle. Alvear, who had a decisive participation in the independence period and in the first years of Argentina, is represented by a figure on horseback, which crowns a 13-meter-high block made of granite. On the corners of the pedestal, four statues represent the features of the hero: eloquence, freedom, strength, and victory. The group is a masterpiece because of its sobriety and harmony of proportion. The horse is considered one of the best achieved in the world, the result of a preparation that made Bourdelle produce more than 50 sculptures for study before melting the final work. When the masterpiece was exhibited in Paris, just before being sent to Argentina, France was on the verge of forbidding its departure. It dominates the surrounding garden, and its quietness contrasts with the hectic traffic of Avenida Libertador. Many consider it the monument of the highest artistic value in the city. From Recoleta to the north, Buenos Aires proudly shows its largest green area, the Palermo Woods. These lands used to be frequently flooded by the river until Governor Juan Manuel de Rosas ordered their cleaning and built his residence in 1938. The present aspect, however, is due to landscape architect Carlos Thays, who between 1891 and 1914 designed and directed the construction of this exceptional park. Thousands of trees are grouped according to size, color of leaves, and blossom season, so that the best possible view is offered the whole year. Woods vary with lakes and green areas, with pergolas, footbridges, fountains, benches, and old lamps. The design of some sectors create a unique profile, such as the Rosedal, where thousands of flowers border paths, garden beds, fountains, arbors, and lamps, distributed according to French, Italian, and Spanish styles. However, the subtle Oriental aesthetics reign absolutely in the Japanese garden. There, the plants grow among water surfaces and islands connected by small wooden bridges. One of the principal attractions of Palermo is the zoological garden, where the animals attract almost as much interest as the houses of the beasts of prey, designed according to the style of the regions where the animals come from. Next door, there is the quietness of the botanical garden, where species from all parts of the world flourish, alternating with the beauty of the numerous statues. Another important attraction is the Galileo Galilei Planetary, whose singular architecture accurately reveals its purpose: to put the sky at the reach of visitors, showing astronomy and the mysteries of celestial space. The perspectives and harmony of the landscape have favored the location of sculptures, amongst them one in honor of President and educator Domingo Faustino Sarmiento by Auguste Rodin. Another is in memory of Justo José de Urquiza, who enabled the final organization of the country after a long period of division and civil struggles. But the most imposing memorial of the city is on the crossing of Avenues del Libertador and Sarmiento. It is the work of the Catalan artist Agustín Querol, made at request of Spaniards residing in Argentina. They gave it as a present to Argentina on the first century of its independence. For that reason, it is called the Monument of the Spaniard. A large foliated fountain where two groups of nymphs enjoy the fresh touch of water forms the base. On the corners, four colossal bronze figures represent the Andes, the River Plate, the Chaco, and the Pampa. The majority of the 97 creatures integrating the group form friezes and low reliefs on the white central column. They seem to blend one with the other, scarcely covered by gowns, softening their contour as if waved by a breeze. A winged figure symbolizes the language, and from the top of the monument, the Republic, with open arms and the tunic waving in the wind, dominates the wide horizon of the Palermo woods. The sports originated in Palermo woods, as reminded to us by a monolith located nearby the planetarium. Sports extended then to the rest of the city, but Palermo continues to be a paradise for sportsmen. Surrounded by green parks, public and private facilities have numerous sports activities, such as cycling, athletics, tennis, and golf. Even mountain climbers practice their climbing techniques on high stone walls. Beyond what can be seen in Palermo, sports occupy a very important place in the life of porteños. Not because all inhabitants practice sports, but because of the enormous interest with which they follow the events. Tennis tournaments convoke thousands of people, and car racing gathers multitudes, but none can compare to the enthusiasm aroused by Sir. Championships and competitions follow one another during the year. This explains the great number of world-renowned players who have grown up in Argentina. Buenos Aires has 8 first-rate division clubs, representing the highest density in the world, and similar institutions located in the neighboring metropolitan region complete the list. The main soccer clubs, according to numbers of fans and size of their stadiums, are Boca Juniors and River Plate, whose legendary rivalry is overshadowed only when the Argentine selection plays the international matches. As wisely indicated by an old expression, in the Argentine capital, soccer constitutes a passion of multitudes. Cosmopolitan by formation and by choice, Buenos Aires is the exclusive work of human effort. It is not crossed by crystalline rivers. It does not face a roaring sea from the height of tall cliffs. It is neither surrounded by rainforest nor at the feet of mountain. It was created on a plain next to an estuary of murky waters. It created a music which accurately expresses its cosmopolitan spirit. And its beauty is the result of the perseverance and tenacity of its inhabitants. Sports stadiums, parks, museums, monuments, concert halls, art galleries, promenades, and shopping centers make it charming. To the captivating features of its buildings, it adds a vast gastronomy, a large number of shows, and a condition of springboard to reach any part of the Argentine geography. And in case something was missing, there is the hospitality of the porteños, an attribute that any visitor can immediately verify. Buenos Aires appeals to the heart.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina, mission世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
And we've got time for one more song before signing off. And it's going to be something by, not an Argentine, but a very popular Cuban singer-songwriter who is quite popular all across the Spanish-speaking world, in Latin America and in Spain as well. I'm talking about Silvio Rodriguez with this, one of his classics, called Ojalá, which means perhaps or... not perhaps, no. Ojalá, in this case, ojalá is I hope. I hope. I hope something happens. That's what ojalá means.
Ojalá que las hojas no te toquen el cuerpo cuando caigan, para que no las puedas convertir en cristal. Ojalá que la lluvia deje de ser milagro que baja por tu cuerpo. Ojalá que la luna pueda salir sin ti. Ojalá que la tierra no te bese los pasos. Ojalá se te acabe la mirada constante, la palabra precisa, la sonrisa perfecta. Ojalá pase algo que te borre de pronto, una luz cegadora, un disparo de nieve. Ojalá por lo menos que me lleve la muerte para no verte tanto, para no verte siempre, en todos los segundos, en todas las visiones. Ojalá que no pueda tocarte ni en canciones. Ojalá que la aurora no dé gritos que caigan en mi espalda. Ojalá que tu nombre se le olvide a esa voz. Ojalá las paredes no retengan tu ruido de camino cansado. Ojalá que el deseo se vaya atrás de ti, a tu viejo gobierno de difuntos y flores. Ojalá se te acabe la mirada constante, la palabra precisa, la sonrisa perfecta. Ojalá pase algo que te borre de pronto, una luz cegadora, un disparo de nieve. Ojalá por lo menos que me lleve la muerte para no verte tanto, para no verte siempre, en todos los segundos, en todas las visiones. Ojalá que no pueda tocarte ni en canciones. Ojalá pase algo que te borre de pronto, una luz cegadora, un disparo de nieve. Ojalá por lo menos que me lleve la muerte para no verte tanto, para no verte siempre, en todos los segundos, en todas las visiones. Ojalá que no pueda tocarte ni en canciones.
Argentine vers le monde.
Rai, Argentina to the world.
Rai, 世界に向けて Argentina.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentinian in die Welt.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
And before signing off, let's go over the headlines of today's main news stories. Relatives of Argentine soldiers who fell in 1982 visit their graves in the Malvinas week, Malvinas Islands this week. Chile announces a project to build a tunnel under the Strait of Magellan. The Argentine government reports receiving threats from drug traffickers. Venezuela's opposition demands an end to the siege of the Argentine embassy in Caracas. Official figures reveal 140,000 people are living with HIV in Argentina. Sports: Juan Martín del Potro bids farewell to professional tennis against Novak Djokovic. And with that, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, for Monday, December 2, 2024. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoy the program. Walter Danesi was our sound technician. My name is Fernando Farias. Join us tomorrow for another program of RAE in English. Ciao.